I think that mothers just have a thankless job. I don't think it'll be that way when they get to heaven, you know, if they make it right with Jesus here. But why don't you stand with me and we will get started with our Bible declaration. So if you would take your Bible in your right or left hand, I guess it doesn't matter, okay? Hold it up to heaven and repeat this with me. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. All right. I would tell you what it was. There. You ready? Because I wasn't, all right? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Believe it? And I receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. The title for today's message is just really simple. It's because. All right? Because. All right? So I guess really the question this morning that we really need to answer is, what exactly is a mother? What exactly is a mother? Well, mothers are teachers and disciplinarians. They're cleaning ladies, gardeners, and mowers of the lawn when the dad doesn't do it. I wouldn't know about that. Anyway, mothers are nurses and doctors, psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. They are developers of personalities, molders of vocabulary, and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are that soft voice that always says, I love you. And mothers are a link to God. And really, it's probably the first impression that a child gets of the unconditional love of God. Mothers are all this that I just mentioned, and really, there's so, so much more. Let me read this illustration to you of God in the act of creating mothers. Now, this isn't biblically sound, but okay, here we go. On the day God created mothers, he had already worked overtime, and the angel said to him, Lord, you're sure spending a lot of time creating this one. The Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? Allow me to tell you, she's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a scratch to a broken leg and to a broken heart. She is to have a lap, I love this one. She is to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. Come on. Every husband said amen, okay? And she is expected to function on black coffee and leftovers, all right? Not only that, she's supposed to have three sets of eyes. One pair of eyes that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, what are your kids doing in there, she already knows, all right? And another pair of eyes in the back of her head to see all the things she isn't supposed to see but that she needs to see. And finally, she has a pair of eyes located in the front, which is good, so that she can find or look at a child that just messed up, okay, that just made a huge mistake, and still be able to communicate love and understanding without saying a word, all right? The angel said, that's way too much to put into just one model. You can't do that. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I just have a little ways to go. I mean, I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. That can be tough, okay? Who at the same time can balance the budget. I think I'll be done soon, but maybe not, okay? Maybe not. Maybe with all this in mind, we can better understand the mother of James and John, who she was and why she did and why she said some of the things that she did. So let's just take a look at what the mother of James and John, who was Mrs. Zebedee, okay, everybody say Mrs. Zebedee, and why she did what she did. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, and we will read verses 20 through 23, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Classic version this morning, okay? All right. Are you there? You don't care because you can read it up here, right? Okay. All right. Don't be quiet today. Mothers aren't used to it being quiet, right? Amen? So you got to make some noise today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I hope so. Okay. Verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee, Mrs. Zebedee, of course, her children came up to him with her sons, and kneeling, worshipped him and asked a favor of him. Just listen to this. And he asked her, meaning Jesus, okay, what do you wish? And she answered him, give orders. Check this out. Give orders that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your kingdom. Wow, that's some guts, okay? But Jesus replied, you don't realize what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I am about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they answered, we are able. He said to them, you will drink of my cup, but seats at my right hand and my left hand are not mine to give, but they are for those for whom they have been ordained and prepared by my Father. Okay? Gary, would you come up and pray for the message, please?
Father, as Pastor preaches today, Lord, I pray that we would just take it in, God, and that it would change us today. Yeah. Father, things that we thought that were wrong, God, I pray that would be erased from our memories. And Lord, the things that we should change our minds to, God, that we would walk out of here and that we would do those things. Father, I pray that you are exalted today in this place. God, we need you. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. I mean, wow, right? Say wow. The boldness and the brashness, if you will, almost rudeness of Mrs. Zebedee to ask what she did ask of Jesus. Now, that takes guts, you know. She was very much aware of the teachings of Jesus and about his soon coming kingdom. She was very aware also of the fact that her sons, James and John, were very close to Jesus. In fact, they were two men of a total of three men who were part of the inner circle of Jesus, Peter being the third man, okay? So she had no doubt, at least she thought she had no doubt, that when Jesus established his kingdom, that they would receive positions of responsibility and positions of authority, positions that meant something, and they would be something when they got into that kingdom. And in the first part of this same chapter, chapter 20, Jesus told a story that really must have gotten her thinking, okay? Kind of messed her theology up. Let me recap that story for you. It was a story about a landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning to work in his field. Well, he found them, and they both agreed on a fair day's wages, and then they went to the field and they started working. At approximately noon, the Bible says, the landowner went to town again, and he found some more workers, and they started working for him. Then towards the end of the day, he went into town again, and he found some more workers, and they started working. So at the end of the day, when the landowner paid all the workers, a funny thing happened. They all received the same wages for their work. The men who worked all day got the same wage that they agreed to, just as the ones who only worked for an hour. The workers who worked the longest weren't happy. They were mad. They were upset with the situation. But that's another story. But this story that Jesus told, this parable that he told, must have really gotten Mrs. Zebedee thinking and questioning, will my sons really get positions of authority? in the Lord's new kingdom that they deserve? Or will it be given to somebody else without really so much seniority? Somebody who just came into the kingdom? I don't understand. And I think it bothered her. I really do. So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to Jesus to explain some things to the Lord. How many of you know sometimes you got to explain some things? Well, maybe you think you have to explain some things to the Lord. All right? Matthew writes this. He writes this, that she bowed before him and worshiped him. And then she made this request, okay? This is gutsy, man. Give orders. Oh, please, Jesus? She didn't say that. Give orders that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your kingdom. I mean, who would ask such a thing? Who would have the guts? But that's what mothers do, okay? That's what they do, always watching out for their children. When you read the story, how many of you thought, you know, not now, but at another time, how many of you thought that she was maybe asking more than she probably should have? That she was asking more than what should be expected, okay? I know I did when I read that. I thought, boy, that lady's got some, yeah, she's got some. She's gutsy. But let's take a look at some of the positive things that Mrs. Zebedee, say Mrs. Zebedee. I was going to name her Zelda, but I suppose I shouldn't. Let's take a look at some of the positive things that she possessed. And I want to mention three things this morning that are common to all mothers. First of all, we can see that she was a prayer, right? Because she talked to Jesus. Amen? Come on. Because prayers spend time doing that. They talk to Jesus. And she prayed that her sons might be a part of his kingdom. Of all the good and worthy and selfless things that a mother could pray for, I can't think of a more important prayer than this one, to pray for her children that they would be a part of the kingdom. Amen? And I'm sure that my mother prayed for me. I'm sure that my grandmother prayed for me. And as far as I know, God may have answered those prayers. And my wife surely prayed for me. Surely prayed for me. And I'm sure all the mothers who are here today or watching online have prayed this prayer or one like it. God, just save my son. Just save my daughter. Just get him in the kingdom. Because that's what mothers do, all right? That's what mothers do. They look out for their children. James Dobson tells about a time when he came home when his son Ryan was just a baby, okay? It had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick, and he had cried all day. As she was changing his diapers, the telephone rang, and she reached over to answer the telephone before fastening up his diaper. Come on, go there, okay? Just then, Ryan had another attack of diarrhea. How many of you know that it's always a good idea to make sure a baby boy especially remains covered when you're changing his diaper? Yeah, we've all experienced that. Well, anyway, she cleaned up the new mess and put him in clean, nice-smelling clothes, okay? And she took him into the living room and began to feed him. And she was burping him when all of a sudden he threw up all over himself and all over her, not to mention the furniture. Can you just imagine the mess and the smell? Just think of it. Okay, Dobson wrote this. When I came home, I could smell the sweet aroma of motherhood everywhere in the house. All right? How many of you know that mothers pray, all right? Because being a mother isn't easy. It really isn't. Sometimes mothers are filled with joy, and sometimes mothers are filled with sadness. Sometimes children make their mothers so proud, and other times mothers can't find enough tissues to dry their eyes. Being a mother isn't easy. In fact, I think it's downright difficult. I mean, when my wife goes to Shipshawana, and I know all my kids go with her, but I have the dogs. I can't even take care of the dogs. How does she keep the house clean? I can't even keep it clean after myself. So the day before she comes home, of course, I have to clean everything. I call her up and say, how close are you? But being a mother isn't easy. In fact, it really is downright difficult. But James and John's mother, and really mothers everywhere, are an important example because she was praying earnestly that her sons would be a part of the kingdom of God. That's the kind of concern that mothers everywhere have for their children. I think you would agree. Think about it. What good is it? Okay, say, what good is it? If our children are successful financially, because they're not going to give it to you. I just don't want to break your heart, but it doesn't do any good if they're driving expensive cars and living in great neighborhoods, living in huge houses, if they don't know Jesus. Amen? You know, Mark 8:36 says this, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life in the eternal kingdom of God?" You can be sure that the heart of every mother that's here this morning and watching this morning and everywhere, okay, that there's a burden to go to the throne room of God repeatedly and as many times as it takes and pray for her children that they too would be a part of the kingdom. And as a father, you know, I can say that too. I just want them to get in. You know what I mean? I want them to get in. I want them to make it. I want them to do more than that, but I want them to for sure make it. But mothers have more of a habit. I throw up flare prayers, you know. Yeah, I want my kids to make it, you know. Mothers pray for their kids, all right? They intercede, if you will, for their kids. They don't forget about it, all right? The first point is this. Mothers pray until their children are apart, okay? Mothers pray until their children are apart. And the second point is this. She prayed that her sons would be actively involved in the work of the kingdom, okay? It wasn't just enough, and it isn't just enough for mothers to know they're going to make it. They're going to pray for more than that, okay? Have you ever thought that maybe it isn't enough just to be saved? That it doesn't stop there? There has to be some sort of a reaction in your life or your children's life after they've been changed from the inside out? Amen? Come on. There's got to be some sort of a change on the outside, some sort of a surrender, if you will, to Jesus. I mean, there's churches full of people, all right, who are very content to just fill a pew or fill a chair on a Sunday morning. And these people are willing to sit back and receive the blessings. Yet, very seldom do they get involved in the real work of the church in the kingdom of God. Have you ever asked yourself this question, or one like this, okay? Where does the spirit of being a servant really start? Where does that really start in a person? When does it get born within their heart? Well, I'll tell you this morning. It starts at home with the parents, but especially the mothers. And you can't put it any other way because they spend more time with their children than their fathers do. And they're setting the example and praying for their sons and their daughters to be involved in the work of the kingdom, okay? Mothers storm heaven until their prayer becomes a reality, okay? And they will storm heaven over and over and over, and they don't get tired of it. They do it over and over again. I swear to God, my wife will sometimes pray the same prayers over and over and over. And I think to myself, gee, I forgot about that a long time ago. But she prays them over and over and over until they come true, okay? Until they're fulfilled. Praying that the kids would be teachers and leaders and givers and disciple makers. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved in the work of Jesus' kingdom. You see, mothers have a habit of praying past what others perceive. Why? Because they have mother eyes. Amen? They have mother eyes, so they can see beyond what others can perceive. Because, you know why? Because that's what mothers do. Oh, come on. Say it with me. Because that's what mothers do. Amen. Amen. Mothers pray until their kids participate. Okay? And I don't have a long message this morning, so you can kind of relax. Okay? So mothers pray until their children are apart. All right? And mothers pray until their children participate. But thirdly, she had a plan. And she prayed her plan. All right? She prayed her plan. Mrs. Zebedee had these great expectations, if you will. Please understand, when you're working in a kingdom, there are no higher positions than those that are on the right hand and on the left hand of the king himself, all right? And that's what she wanted for her sons. And so she bypassed every sort of being polite. It didn't matter. She was going to get to Jesus, and she was going to ask him. No, that's right. She kind of told-asked Jesus, all right? That's kind of like volunteering or voluntolding, okay? But she went and she did more than just ask. She kind of demanded of Jesus that this would happen. She didn't just pray that her children would be doorkeepers. And she didn't just pray that they would show up every Sunday morning for service, although that's a good thing. She didn't pray that they would just barely make it, okay, by the skin of their teeth. By the way, have you ever wondered where that saying came from? By the skin of your teeth? Okay, I'll be spiritual here for a minute, okay? Okay, it was actually found first in Job 19:20 in the 1560 version of the Geneva Bible, okay? By the way, I don't have that one, Serena, if you could. By the skin of their teeth. Oh, she wanted her kids to be seated on the right hand and on the left hand, okay? You gotta admire her guts. You gotta. She had big expectations, and big expectations take bold prayers. And she was not afraid to pray them. The Bible tells us, you have not because you ask not, right? That's what it says. And too often, we as believers settle for way less than what God has for us. We really do. Did you hear me? I mean, too often, we as believers settle for way less than what God has for us. Okay. As a mother, Mrs. Zebedee could see past what others could perceive. And she had a big plan for her children. And she showed a big boldness, if you will, and she prayed her plan. She knew what she wanted. She was going to make sure. You know, I can remember times that my mother would embarrass me. Oh, gosh. But she really wasn't trying to embarrass me. She was just trying to bolster me. Do you know what I mean? Try to maybe I really blew something, and she's, oh, well, heck. One time, I had to recite the 23rd Psalm. Man, I knew that like the back of my hand. Did you ever wonder where the back? Never know. And I knew that 23rd Psalm, but man, I had to get up in front of people. How many of you know that getting up in front of people, well, not anymore, but it can make you freeze, okay? You just stop. Well, I said something like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I couldn't go any further. And she walked up in front of all these kids. And I mean, there was a lot of kids. She grabbed a hold of my shoulders and said, he knew it fine at home. Thanks, Mom. Thanks. But I did. But even if it's embarrassing to the child, they will do what they think is best. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that mothers do what they think is best. Because usually, most times, in fact, I can't think of a time when they're wrong in that. They know what they want for their kids. They know what is best for their kids. And they will make sure their kids get it no matter what. Okay? You know why? Because that's what mothers do for their children, period. That's what mothers do for their children. So, what have we learned about Mrs. Zebedee, Zora Zebedee, or whatever I was going to call her? What have we learned about her as a mother this morning? This, okay? Three things. She was willing to pray until her children were apart, okay? She was willing to pray until they participated. And last but not least, she prayed her plan. Excuse me. In closing, okay? You're going, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. But that doesn't mean I'm done, okay? I believe, and I really, really believe this, that motherhood is the most full-time, all-encompassing, and difficult times a thousand jobs in the world. Because when you don't want to do it anymore. You just disappear. But the mothers can't do that. Right? So it's the most difficult job. I suppose that's why today is so special, if you will, because we recognize a mother's love. And it's probably the closest example, I think, that we have to the agape love of God, to the unconditional love of God. When I think of the things I said to my mother, and she still loved me, still did. It's a love that goes through the valley, and it's always there on the mountaintop too. It's a love that sacrifices itself until there is nothing left to sacrifice and still sacrifices more. It's a love that would even dare to lay down its life for its own family. Amen? I'll tell you this story in closing, okay? There's a story that is told out of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of millions of people, of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Now you have to remember that name, okay? Solomon Rosenberg. You don't really have to. Anyway, it's a true story, okay? This happened. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, so the rules were really pretty simple, all right? As long as you can do your work, you were allowed to live. Once you became too weak to do your work, then you were exterminated, okay? Rosenberg watched his mother and his father get marched off to their deaths, and he knew that the next one to march would be his youngest son named David. Because David had always been kind of a frail child, and he knew that they didn't like that. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched, you know, diligently for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would all huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he didn't see all those familiar faces. He finally found his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled up, weeping and praying. And he said, "Joshua, tell me it isn't true." And Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. It is true. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said. See, I've read this. "When they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and she went with him." Why'd she do that? Why did she do that? Because that's what mothers do for their children. Amen? Say it with me. That's what mothers do for their children. And that's all I have for you this morning. Mothers, you know, this is your day. It truly is. And may God bless you in this day. I hope you get to eat a wonderful meal and don't have to wash one single piece of silverware. That's why we're going to use plastic and paper plates, okay? But why don't all the men, daughters, just give mothers a hand right now, and then we'll pull this to a close. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, there is just nobody like you. God, today we confess our love for you. We thank you for the mothers that have been placed in our lives, that have affected our lives, that are still in our lives, God. And I do pray that today you would bless them just beyond measure. Bless them more than they have ever been blessed before. Let this be a day, God, that they remember for the good things that happened today. And I thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, as we sing this last song and as we close, Lord, I pray that you would go with everybody this week. I pray, God, that you would just help them to get through the week in a good and godly way. I pray everyone would be safe, and I pray you'd bless them. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen and amen.